for no reason at all, like, no reason at all, I just want to talk about golf. I mean, like, no reason based on things that are happening right now.
Man, if only that was
when,
true.
When our buddy Taylor Lane was in high school, he worked at the country club, which obviously you know. I'm saying this for the benefit of the listeners. And
does he still produce this?
I'm and all of our podcast platforming was begun by Taylor Lane, including the website.
Even when he didn't live here.
Even when he didn't live here. Yeah. I mean, I've had to contact Taylor like 10 years after he moved away and been like, hey, so what's the password for our, for our Squarespace for the church website? Taylor worked at the country club. And as a result, like every now and then my mom would come into town from, you know, where she lived out in Middle Tennessee. And like, we would play nine real quick and like for free. And, you know, my mom would bring beer and like we would just like drive nine. And it was like, I'm so bad at that game, but those are some really fun memories. It's one of those things of like, if golf was cheap or free, it would be such an awesome thing to do all the time.
Yeah, Gladwell does a whole revisionist history about
how
golf is such a waste.
Yeah.
He
hates it so much.
Yeah, which that's a big opinion. It is extremely expensive, though, and it's really annoying. I hate that about golf.
Yeah, I mean, it cancels a whole swath of the public from ever experiencing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frustrating. It's like if I wanted to play a round of golf at this point in my life, which the thing that's starting to happen is they're starting to build 12 hole courses, which are quicker.
Yeah.
But like if I wanted to play a round of golf, I would lose 5 hours of a day.
Yeah.
And basically my entire like
per diem.
Yeah. My monthly per diem that I'm allotted in my budget.
So Tommy and I were talking about this recently, that the really interesting thing about that is that disc golf is becoming more popular. Like cities build municipal disc golf courses that are free. And the thing that I think is so brilliant about golf, because Gladwell's right about all those things about, you know, socioeconomic, race, and
the thing that was crazy from that episode was that all the golf courses in Los Angeles are like rent controlled, essentially.
Yes.
They pay like taxes from the 1900 or the 1800s.
Yes.
So it's like, what?
Yeah. So they pay nothing to have the best land in the city in the freaking LA. But the thing that's brilliant about golf is like, you know, because all those things you mentioned are true, but you would carve out that time, like ministry wise and relationship wise, if it didn't cost so much, because basically when you invite somebody to play golf with you or disc golf, you're basically just saying like, take a walk with me for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And let's talk about everything.
That's how I feel about golf and fishing. You would do,
You
just have like, if you're in Joe Pinley's boat with him, you're with him for 4 hours and it's just the two of you, you know? But if you're in a golf cart, like I think in a 4 hour round of golf, you actually spend 3 minutes playing the
hitting
sport.
Ball.
Yes. It's something crazy like that. The rest of it is you're walking or riding.
Yeah, the rest of it's fellowship. Like when you play a round of golf with
Posse, it's fellowship with certain people.
Yeah, with certain people, it's trolling.
Yeah.
when you play a round of golf with somebody like Potsy, though,
yeah,
before anybody tees off on that first tee, like that first hole, Potsy will have a group prayer. And it's like the holiest moment for him.
Yeah, one of my favorite memories, and like, yeah. One of my favorite memories was going with him and Bill to Florida and just like playing golf.
Because Potsy's so sweet and Bill will just troll him like mad.
So funny. So funny. We had so much fun.
Didn't Potsy, for just the three of you and your golf bags and your duffel bags, didn't Potsy rent like a 12 passenger van for that?
Bill, we picked Bill up at the airport and he just, the look on his face. We each had a row of seats. Is amazing.
Potsy.
I can't.
He does that laugh. Oh.
I'll never forget. So I played middle school golf, like competitively. It was really fun. It was so fun. But I got paired in like one of the, in a group with some better players. And I'll never forget. This one guy was such a turd the whole round. I'll never forget it. You'd play a nine hole, like stroke play against a couple different people. So And then at the end, they add up your score of your five play, just like how high school golf would work.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any high school golf coaches listening to this or not.
Yeah, especially ones that really, really want to get Jumpman to sponsor their, which like how cool would it be if you were on really a high school team and your coach got freaking Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Gear for
it's
you.
Amazing. That's what Austin puts out content wise for the golf team. I'm just like, every so time kind. I see it, I'm like, this is the coolest thing.
So kind, especially because like, I mean, on one hand, he's got to make himself feel better from all the crap content he's got to put out because UK keeps getting dogged.
That whole cigarette cat thing.
It's not working.
It's not working.
Cue the anthem.
It's time, yeah, time to time to move past it there.
When Alabama drops a 20 berg on you.
Jeez. But okay, so I was playing in this golf match, and this guy was being a jerk. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
He was left-handed. I very vividly remember it. And he just kept like... He would keep like making backhanded comments to me about the other players. Like I was going to jump on board with him. Huh. And I was just like, I would nod my head. And we made it to the eighth hole and we played nine. And I will never I have such a clear memory of this in my mind. Like I was 13. This was half of my life ago. And more than half of my life ago. Dang. 27. Yeesh. But he was standing about 40 yards down the fairway from one of the guys he's been trash talking the whole time.
Yeah.
And like this kid was not very good who he was trash talking.
Sure.
And he was standing like directly in his line, just like standing there, like waiting to hit his shot. And the guy just hit a worm burner and it squared up his thigh and he just dropped and he made a noise unlike anything I'd ever. And I was just like, I cannot laugh at this because that had to be the most painful thing ever. But just poetically speaking, you deserved every ounce of that.
It's like the universe is not karmic, but like every now and then something happens and you're like, was that you, Lord?
Yeah. And that's exactly what that was. I have yet to be like squared up by a golf ball, but I know it's gotta be the most pain because it's so small and it comes so fast.
Well, okay. Can we hit pause and I point out two things. One, you're holding that microphone like you would hold a giant stogie. And I just think that's really funny. Like, because one day you were holding it like you would hold a hot dog. And now it's like a stogie. It's like you have a secret.
This is how Bono holds the mic. So that's how I hold it.
The other thing is, I've never before this conversation heard the word worm burner. And you just threw it in there like everybody knows.
You never heard that? Like a worm burner would be one that like scoots across the ground really fast because there's worms in the ground. So it's burning the worms
up. It's a term that everybody knows and uses.
Someone out there was just like, what did he just say? Exactly. Including you.
What is a worm?
So he hit a laser that got a couple feet off the ground at its max and was like skipping like a stone.
Wow.
And just like, boom.
Just hit the guy in the thigh.
And he and fell to the ground.
Welcome to Ancient. This is ostensibly a Bible study podcast. We're going to talk about some scriptures. And you want to kick us off?
Sure. Sure.
Carry on.
I was going back and forth this morning about things to read. I've realized since I like shifted up the way I have my daily scripture intake, I've just gone like the last quarter of last year, I just did like a Mark thing every week. And now it's been like a John thing every week.
Cause you gotta crunch it in and go to work these days, right? As opposed to like,
I have probably like a 25 minute window there that I'm,
you can stretch your legs a little bit,
chilling in my coffee spot in my house. But
these days I've been reading the scriptures, sitting on the couch next to our dog.
Ooh, warm.
Yeah. She just cuddles right down. She's not interested in the scriptures at all.
Oh,
but she's very interested in like soul? Being close enough to make contact. Where are we going? John?
John chapter 6.
Did you say something I didn't hear?
Yeah. Oh.
Was it on purpose?
Well, I thought you would hear it.
No, what did you say?
That's okay.
Oh no.
I said nothing. It had nothing to do with you. I didn't mean for you to not hear it.
If you're new to the podcast, sometimes Thomas says things under his breath because my hearing is not very good. He does it to troll me.
You did something a few weeks ago. I was at your house and you heard something from a long way away. And like, I think Christy and I made eye contact and we're like, what?
How'd he do that?
How did that happen?
some pathway cleared out of the old school heavy metal nonsense. And I was able to hear.
Oh, man.
John?
Yeah, John chapter 6. Okay. I'm going to start in verse 11. My throat's not very clear this morning.
You're fine.
There's just like, there's so much meat on the bone with John. It's so interesting. Like, but it's also so beautiful. There's just so much cool stuff. Like, like Mark is so meaty. It's like, it's just like a
protein.
Yeah.
Just it's a protein shake.
Yeah. And then, but so is John also. There's just some bangers to start the thing off. You know, there's so much cool stuff like back to back to back to back. Anyways, here we go. Verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. I have to start over. I've like, since one of y'all pointed out that I mumble, I can't catch, I can't, if I like stutter on a word, I it kills me now. It was Tom.
You're a baritone. I mean, you're.
Tom pointed out that I'm hard to understand sometimes, and I never would have said that about myself, but now I can't unhear.
I was talking to Christy the other day about when we were in Spain and how like, how easy it is to understand folks like Jonah and Luis, who are older gentlemen, and how hard it is to understand the college kids and high school kids. Like it's just impossible with the rapidity, with the, with the slang, with the slurring. And then 6 days into camp, Braulio finally tells you that he speaks English.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Same thing with Ari. He just didn't speak. And every once in a while, he'd just lean over and say something in English. And I'm like, you understood my whole conversation. It's amazing. Just scrap that. It's not going to get cut out. So sorry, probably. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Okay, so the thing that...
I understood all of those words.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. But, let nothing be wasted. Just was so eye-popping to me this morning. It just... I just wrote down all the things that meant to me, all the things that it could be, you know, like throw nothing in the trash, toss nothing away. Don't feed anything to the birds, like none of it. Don't waste any of it. Let it all be used. And I was just thinking today, like, what if I live my day like that? What if every breath today I was grateful for? What if every breath today I gave to Jesus and just said, don't waste any of it? Everything. Yeah. Every moment where I have, you know, I'm sitting at my desk and it's just me typing a spreadsheet. What if somehow that wasn't wasted? You know, because the truth of the matter is when I'm driving home at the end of the day, there are times when I'm just like, that was the biggest waste of a day. Like, it doesn't matter that I ostensibly did work today.
Yeah.
But like, spiritually speaking, it was a gigantic waste. Yeah. I didn't practice anything. I didn't. Like, I, you know, I had a quiet time this morning and I listened to some sweet music on my way to work, but then I'm driving home and I'm like, well, dang, what did I do today?
Right.
You know, like, what did I do outside of work? And it's interesting because I just started thinking today, what if I had that mindset? What if that was my mindset today? I'm not going to waste any moment. I'm not going to waste any moment. It may not mean that every second of today I'm preaching the gospel to somebody, because whatever, but like that does not,
sometimes that makes you weird when you're that guy.
Yeah. Sometimes it makes you weird and people won't listen. But what if like every conscious thought I had today, somehow I devoted it to Jesus? What if every breath I breathed today, somehow I gave it to Jesus and he could tell me what to do with it. He owned it. What if every step I took, somehow I gave it to Jesus. And there's like, you know, there's a Brother Lawrence thing in there somewhere. There's something else in there somewhere, but I just am like, okay, I'm not going to be, I'll never get over it. Like hearing Joe Pinley talk about that thing. There is a thing from that Brother Lawrence book where he's like, you know, asking Jesus if he should move a piece of like a twig that he found on the sidewalk. And, and I'm like, okay, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. Maybe like every time I go to the shredder today to shred some paper, I should ask Jesus if I should. I don't know. But like, I think there's a healthy way and a sweet way that I can live my life and say, like, I'm not going to waste any moment of it today. I'm going to let Jesus dictate how I do today. I think that's a cool thing to think about.
Well, I think one of the things that we, one thing that, that messes us up about our approach to some of Jesus's like stories and parables and teachings and stuff like that is that our world is so different than his was. Like, I think if we, either A, if we lived back then, or B, if our world was more like theirs was, I think one of the things that we would recognize is that he was constantly using everything in the material world to like, to draw people in, to make people think about the Father, to make, to bring heaven closer, to make small moments have more consequence. Like his stories, like to us, his stories seem like, you know, kind of really planned and antiquated. And, you know, they're about farmers. They're about flour. They're about birds. They're about weather. They're
you just
about,
named like all of my favorite things and called them antiquated.
There are some
grows muscadines, has bird feeder on his back deck,
loves to bake birds.
Plants. I know you're talking about flour, but like also loves flowers,
yes,
but also loves to bake.
Like, yes. I will say this, Thomas's bagels are on point. I'm really, I'm really angling for another bagel sandwich.
I like to angle too with the fishing rod.
Oh my gosh. So, but like, in other words, he's constantly using everything in, Jesus was constantly using everything in his sense experience to lean toward the Lord and the kingdom of God and your, the spiritual reality of yourself. Okay. That whole thing to say, if, so we're not going to dip our toe into heresy here, but like if the That's incarnation job, had been now,
come on,
if the incarnation had been in modern times rather than when Jesus came. I know that's unfathomable because that's not, that wasn't the plan of the Lord. But if when the Son of Man was incarnated, there were paper shredders and emails and Keurig machines, like he would have told stories using those things, you know, like instead of like, you know, when a woman is putting yeast into the dough, you know, the leaven works into every corner of the dough. Mm. He would have told some story about like a stand mixer instead. Or just like a frozen microwave dinner. Mm. Like he would have made, he would have used something in everybody's experience. He would have had some cool thing about sending emails that people would never forget.
Right.
You know, but that, it feels antiquated to us because that's what the world was. Mm. But like Jesus walking around now, if he had come now, all of his parables would be about, they would be about the stuff we experienced. They would be about Bluetooth speakers.
Right.
Like he would have something about your Bluetooth connection.
Right.
And all of that to say, what if he does have that stuff to say right now? Mm. What if, not that there's, we're not talking about introducing new scripture, but that he is inviting, exactly as you're saying, he's inviting me to lean toward him and to lean into and turn my attention to what he wants to teach me and show me in the middle of things like my file allocation to free up space on my hard drive, you know, or whatever the thing is. The subscription service that we use every day. What's the lesson there? I mean, there are kind of movements like this every now and then, like the every moment sacred or every moment holy or whatever it is. But like, there's something in there that I think is really cool, which I think that you did a good job of describing, of just like, don't waste any moment today. Mm-hmm. Jesus has something to teach me. He has something to encourage me with. And I was thinking about this the other night. We were with, just doing a little prayer thing of just like, I love in his proximity, no matter what the day's been like, all you have to do is turn toward him a little bit and he's right there. Like he's close. He wants to hang out. He wants to teach. He wants to woo. He wants all of that. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Thanks.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's look at, we're going to go from one classic Jesus story to another. Matthew chapter 9 is what I want to look at. Oh man, I'm in one of these Bibles that doesn't have any section headings.
No, which one are you looking for?
You're like doing a Marshall Erickson thing right now, just like singing a song as you look for the scripture.
Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick man.
Yeah.
Verse 18.
Thank you.
YW.
While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. That's it. That's the moment. I want to zoom in on that moment for a second. And part of this is weird because... Part of this is weird because we haven't, like, at least you and I haven't. I think there are some people in this country who have, but it's not us. That we haven't been in a crowd in a long time. Mm-hmm. We haven't had proximity to people like that in a long time, where like there's just people around you on your shoulders and on, like the image that I'm getting, the first and maybe the first time I really remember experiencing like a dense crowd of people was when I went to Robertsville, and it was called Robertsville Junior High School. Mm-hmm. And they told us, okay, in between classes, because like in elementary school, you don't change classes. You have one teacher all day long. They said in between classes, you have to go from one room to a different one down through the hallways. And there's 800 students in the school. And you have 7 minutes to get to your next class, even if it's on the total other end of campus. And that was the first time in my life I remember like the panicking feeling of like, I have to get through this crowd. I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
And I was, when you go to Robertsville back in the 90s, you were a sixth grader. And like, I was like, I'm a tiny sixth grader and there's big ninth graders here and they do not care if you get to class on time or anything like that. And like just that panicking feeling of like, not only am I trying to get through this crowd, but I have this huge backpack on as well. But like people have different experiences like that. Like maybe at a crowded stadium or for a football game or like at Neyland Stadium whatever kind of crowd. For you, it would be like a Bass Nectar concert or something like that.
That's the only thing people heard on this show, or they just joined, they would get a very wrong idea of who I am as a person.
Thomas loves watching Bass Nectar in person.
Honestly, it's one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. I'll stand by that.
Even when you got peed on?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, no, but like, the event itself was fun.
But like, I think the thing that gave me pause when I read this was just like, just setting down reading that sentence and setting down the Bible for a second. And I don't know if you do this, like, I think you do though, but like just setting down the Bible for a second and then taking some time to like picture it, just to like, if I was the director of a movie and I was going to direct this and make this into a scene, how would I set it up? What would it look like? What would the camera angle be? And then also remembering the feeling of trying to work your way through a crowd and almost being panicked, like being a tiny sixth grader and like, am I going to make it to class on time? And, you know, as Coach Phil Hauer I'm going to be in trouble with Coach Phil Hauer or whatever it is. Like all of these, just all these panicking feelings. But for this woman, it was like 12 years of pain. 12 years of isolation. She had one specific thing that she wanted so badly. And it said in verse 21, she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I'll be healed." And like, I don't know why she thought that. I don't know what evidence there was that was going to be the thing. I mean, obviously he had already been doing some stuff starting in kind of chapter 8 in Matthew. But like, she's just like, people are throwing elbows. They're like body checking people. Like everybody's looking at Jesus. Everybody's wondering like, is that him? No, that's one of his disciples. Which one is he? He's the one with Jairus. He's with Jairus? Like all these things you're hearing, if you think about the crowd noise and like the just everything holding you back. And like, what if you stub your toe on a rock and all those things? And you're just working your hand finally through underneath somebody's arm, around somebody's waist. And then like you get your finger just barely on the hem of his cloak and you can feel like it worked. Okay. So all that whole thing, I was just thinking about it. And this actually kind of relates to the place that you took us of like, what if I live my day with this in mind? There's one thing I need today. I need one thing. I need it more than anything today. I need to reach out and touch him. I've got to get to him. If I just make the slightest connection with him, it'll change everything about my day. And like, what's standing in my way? What's that crowd? What's the noise of the crowd? What is the jostle of the crowd? What is in my way? Like, is it the way that I think about my work? Is it the Netflix that I go to almost as an automatic response? Is it like the Twitter feed just because, you know, our nation's blowing up right now and like in so many ways and there's so much to pay attention to?
Yeah.
Like, what is that crowd? And like, if I had the desperation of this lady to say like, everybody's looking in a certain way. Everybody's doing this thing, but I want one thing today. I want it. I need it. I'll do anything to work my way through this crowd, to like inch my way toward him. And I just need to be connected to him today. And that was my thought of just like, just thinking about that and asking myself like, all right, what's my crowd? What's holding me back?
It's a cool thought. And I think for a lot of people, you may have to dig down deep to find what that is, because
yeah, it might not be obvious.
No, it may not be. It may not be some like sticky sin that's just in your face or like whatever the thing is. I don't know. Like I have no idea what it may be, but you may have
sticky
to like,
sin.
I don't know what that phrase is.
Who stole the honey?
Just Winnie the Pooh.
Don't bother.
But which is such a unique name, Winnie the Pooh. I don't know what that is. But every time I go over to the Masons, Ellie's watching it. And she's like, Pooh. It's hilarious. But I think the thing you're saying makes total sense. But I also think it may mean you have to search really hard. And it may be something that you're not aware of. Yeah. And you have to ask Jesus for. Because a lot of times it may be a thought or a feeling that you just go to. Or whatever the thing is. And you may have to say, okay, I'm going to put this aside, and it's got to be, it's the thing that's getting in my way. I like, for some reason I pictured this woman as Marshawn Lynch today. Like, you know, there's that run he made in, I think it's 2009 playoffs, where literally, or like it's, there's that Derrick Henry run he had a couple years ago.
Where Marshawn, have you seen the Marshawn Subway commercial where he's rolling in that tire?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's amazing. My favorite part is the very end when he says hi to that lady who's pushing her baby in a cart.
Yeah, when he takes the food from her, says, appreciate it. It's just like,
but yeah, he carried like the whole defense.
Yeah. And then there's that one run Derrick Henry had. I mean, like, people out there may not be football fans at all, but they're like,
I think we lost him at golf.
Yeah. Where against the Jaguars a couple years ago, where it was like a 98 yard touchdown run where he just refused to be tackled. And I just picture like, you know, just throwing people off you because you're trying to get to the place where you're going to, and stiff arming things. And like, you know, having the vision to see that person coming up to try to trip you up and like sidestepping and doing a spin move and using your gigantic muscles to throw someone to the ground.
Right.
And for us, it's not trying to, you know, like they're getting to a finish line and they're going to get points for it.
Right.
And for us, it needs to be though, like, what is that? Like, what is the defender that's trying to take the ball away from me? What's trying to tackle me? Whatever the thing is, like, what am I stiff arming today? And what am I sidestepping? Yes. What am I throwing to the ground? What is it that's going to keep me from getting to like reaching out and touching Jesus's cloak, whatever the thing is? And like, a lot of that is going to come from, and figuring out what that is. Like, that's such an interesting thought, because you may know exactly what it is. It may be the fact that your screen time pops up on Sunday at 9 a.m. like mine does. And maybe yours is like 6 hours. It's up 12% from last week to six. And it's like,
right,
time out. That may be too much.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe I need to put my phone down. Or maybe it would take like a conversation with a friend to say like, hey, what's keeping me from Jesus right now that I don't see about myself? Like, what is it? Like, what's keeping me from getting there? And that may be really hard. It's not always fun to do that. And it takes a lot of guts, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
I thought,
cool thought.
One of the things that I thought of as you were breaking that down and talking about Derrick Henry and Marshawn Lynch is like, you know, there's that old, kind of sermon idea of Tom's that like, of that, like, you know, in one version of the story, you see Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus to heal him. In another version of the story, there are two blind men and that like, that he had the guts to scream out and go for it because he wasn't alone. And I just think about this poor woman completely alone and like, what would it have been like if, what would it have been like if she had had a really good friend that was like, clear a path, come on, move out of the way.
Lead
she
blocker.
Needs to get to Jesus, right? Yeah, or like three friends. And it just makes you realize like the people in your life who are also pushing through the crowd because all they want and all they need is to touch the hem of his garment. Like those are your best friends. That's that the those are your people in the words of the moment. But it's like there's something I want more than anything else. Like Derrick Henry wants the end zone. I have to touch Jesus. It's that's how I'm gonna feel better today. That's how I'm gonna get better is I've gotta make it to him.
Yeah, and that's like I like that you said those are your best friends. Like
right.
And they need to be. Like for me, if there's people in my life who are doing the opposite, who are trying to tackle me and bring me down, they've got to go.
Yeah.
There's no matter how long they've been there, no matter how long they've worn the same uniform as me, it's time. There's not room anymore, which is sad and not fun and not always easy.
Yeah.
Which like that doesn't necessarily mean like I'm completely done with this person. I've never seen them again.
No, no.
But it definitely means like you need to rethink your stance with them and what their what their role is in your life.
The people in your life, where does your... You only have a finite amount of relationship energy. And I need... I have to touch Jesus' robe today. So the people that help me on that quest, that's where my energy's gonna... That's where it's gotta go. That's where I gotta open myself up. That's those are the relationships I gotta take care of. Because I gotta get there. And that's what I love about this woman is that Matthew... Like he does that third person omniscient narration where he says she thought to herself, if only I touch the corner of his robe. It's like, how did he know that? Well, I mean, I think he knows that because like in Mark, we find out that Jesus made her tell her whole story. So that's how he knew it. But like, but it's cool that he gives us, that's her mindset. And that needs to be our mindset. Like even like you were saying earlier, it's like, I can't waste anything today. I got to go for it. And her mindset is just like, I've got to get there. Everything else has to go.
I know. I've been like, I feel like every, I don't know if it's a Christmas thing. I don't know what the deal is, but I've just seen a lot of movies in the past year or two where people have, and this is like a big Tom thing with It's a Wonderful Life, like have just rethought how they live their life and have decided like I'm in it. But like, they feel like they, I feel like they're just in my nose recently. Like I watched Soul, you know, the other day.
Yeah.
And then there's that one About Time. Haven't seen it in a while.
Gosh. So
but good. Just the idea of like, you know, if I could relive every second, I wouldn't do it differently except for the fact that I would just give it my all, you know, it's like,
right.
Gosh, I think I'm, I want to be done with like, and this is funny because I think for me that, that a lot of times means, I'm not going to rest. I'm just going to go. I'm going to sprint all day and find things to fill my life up with. I don't think that necessarily means that.
Yeah.
But I do think it means for me right now, like, where's my mind at when I'm doing this today? Like, if I'm like laying on the couch eating a bag of Cheetos, great. Everyone needs to do that every once in a while. But like, is Jesus the king of that? Which is funny to think about.
Yeah. And like, even if you just turn that to like, thank you for this ridiculously bad for me snack.
Yeah, 2021 for me is, I'm trying to make it the year of gratitude. I'm just like, you know, like, I'm just trying to make that the header for my year. Like, that's what the pennant will be. When I like hang that in my stadium at the end of the year, I'm hoping it says like 2021 gratitude.
And then you become the gratitude.
I didn't even have words that came out of my mouth.
It was so bad.
Oh man,
that's probably an ending point.
Even Len Cox wouldn't like that one.
He would have just been like,
no. Side eye.
Yeah. He told me the other day, I need to let something go before I take the Lord's Supper again.
What?
I needed to.
What was it?
My favorite, I'm just like going and going. My favorite dish, my favorite side dish my mom makes is this hash brown casserole.
Yeah.
I've never had one that like, I don't know. It's just really good. I think it's really good. And she didn't make it for Thanksgiving 2019.
Uh-huh.
And I was like extremely upset. I was just like, yeah, you know, I love this. Here? What are we doing? And then I like made a comment about it in Thanksgiving 2020. Oh, and he was just like, you need to let that go. Like he literally put his hand out. I was like, I don't think you should take the Lord's Supper until you've let that one go. It's time.
I'm stealing that construction. That's amazing. That's a great construction.
I was like, okay, it's time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Rebuked by my father.
Thanks, friends. We love you.
Yes.
Have a great week.
Bye.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas. We didn't do that last week.
Ancient new.
When I needed rescue out of deep, deep water. You're